17. Thank you for all the good singing this morning. Choir, the quartet, congregational singing. I appreciate the good presence of the Lord in the place this morning, don't you? It's not like this everywhere. And I'm not saying that to brag on you or the choir or the singers or preacher. I'm not saying it to brag on none of us. I'm saying it to brag on Jesus this morning. I appreciate being in a place where people are willing to let the Lord have liberty and free course to do whatever it is He would like to do. There are many places where the Holy Ghost is grieved, quenched, and offended. The last thing we want to do in this place is grieve Him, quench Him, or offend Him. I want Him to have absolute liberty to do whatever He wants to do in any life that He wants to do it in, including mine or yours. 1 Kings chapter 17, I would like to preach to you what's been on my heart now for just a little while. And I believe it'll be a help and a blessing to you if you've got ears to hear and a heart to receive it. 1 Kings in chapter 17, I'd like to give you the thought and the context behind the entire message this morning. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Kings 17, verse number 1, if you found your place with me, say amen. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. I like the fact that every time God tells Elijah to do something in chapter 17, we don't find Elijah arguing with the Lord, back-talking the Lord, reasoning with the Lord. God, why do I have to do this? Or why do I need to go there? He just gets up and he does what God says. Would to God we all had a heart that anything God told us to do, we would just say, Yes, sir, Lord. I find myself so many times in my own life, God asking me or telling me to do things, requiring things of me in His Word. And even though Brother Day and I read them and I know them to be true and I know what I should do, many times I find myself doing the opposite of what I ought to be doing. Can anybody agree with the preacher this morning? And if you can't, forgive us for being such a group of imperfect church folk that you would even sit with us. We'll be done here in about 30 minutes and you can go find a perfect congregation that you can sit with, that does everything right all the time. He said, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Verse 9, Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10, So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Almost like, just like God said it was. Amazing that things turn out like God says they'll turn out. Said the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not in cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. This morning, I'd like to preach for a few minutes in your hearing on this thought: blessings at the bottom of the barrel. Blessings at the bottom. Not at the top. But when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. When you are scraping the bare bottom of the barrel, you have just tapped into the top of God's barrel. Mark this down and don't ever forget it. When you reach the end of your capability, you have just tapped into the beginning of God's capability. You will never scoop meal off the top of God's barrel till God gets you to the last scoop of your barrel. And there are blessings at the bottom of the barrel this morning. It's just an amazing story in the Word of God that has many applications for you and me today. We find that Elijah comes to this place, Brother Skip, called Zarephath. I like that word, Zarephath. I never really looked at it, Brother Danny, till the other day. Wanted to know what the word meant. The word Zarephath means a refinery. It's a place you make something better at. Y'all know the only way to make gold good and to make gold gleam and glitter is you've got to put it through fire. Here we find that God is about to let the life of an unnamed, seemingly insignificant woman cross paths with one of the most famous preachers in the Bible, but God's going to put them both in the same place at the same time. What is God doing in both of these people's lives? He's refining them. What is God going to do in this process? He's going to get the best out of them. Now, you may sit here this morning and you say, "Preacher, God has brought my life into a Zarephath, be you male or female. God has brought my life into a place of fiery trials. God has brought my life into a place where I'm scraping seemingly the bottom in my life. What is God doing with me in this place? He's refining you." God can never refine an individual that he does not take them down to the bottom to do it. That he does not put their life in some heat to do it. Now let's just be honest at the onset of the message, Brother Jack. I don't like that no more than you do. If I had my way, Brother Charlie, if I had my own opinion to let God know how he ought to handle my life, I would tell him, "This is the way you should do it, God. You should let every day be sunshine, rainbows, puppy dogs, cotton candy. Everything ought to just always be peaches and cream, because that's the way you're going to make me better." But God knows better than I do, and God looks at my life, and God says, "I cannot make your life better by constantly giving you sweet things and by constantly making everything go your way. But the way I'm going to make your life better is I'm going to put you in Zarephath. I'm going to bring you to a place where you scrape the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to put you in a place where the fire is hot and there seems to be no hope and there seems to be no way out. And what I am going to do in your life and with your life through that fire is I'm going to make it better." Don't make it better. We see a lot of things about this woman. Let me just throw this out real quick on the way to the message. I feel like I've already got the point of the message across to you, so we'll hurry to the main points and we'll let it go at that. We see that there is a place in her life. Look at the place that she's at in her life. The Bible said in verse number 9, and it says this over and over, he tells Elijah that there is a widow woman there. In verse 10, he says the widow woman, and over it uses this word widow woman. She's in a rough place in life. Brother Joe, it's a rough place in life where she is, especially in this day. There is no government welfare program to try and help her because she is without a husband. There's no one to take care of her. She doesn't even live in the land of Israel. She's without a husband. She's in a bad spot, and she has a child to take care of on her own, and now she is right smack dab in the middle, Brother Parks, of a massive famine that is in the land. This is a bad place in life, but it's also a bad place in location. Do you know the place where she's at? She's in the region of Zidon and a town in Zidon called Zarephath. You say, what does that mean? Well, the first thing that means is she's a Gentile. This is not in the borders of Israel. She is a Gentile outside of the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope without God in the world. But also this, Brother Chris, I'd never seen this till I studied the other day. Do you know who is from the region of Zidon? Just 8 miles up the road, 8 miles up the road from where she lives. This is where Jezebel was born and raised at. The woman who is trying to kill Elijah, the woman who is trying to snuff Elijah's life out, the woman who hates God, this woman is living right next door to her hometown. And the place of Zarephath is where they actually would form and make the pagan gods that they would worship Baal with. Here God has got her life, and God's going to bring Elijah's life right under the nose of the devil, right into the middle of a place that is a bad location. Now, I got more to say about that in a minute, so hang on. We see the place in her life. But we see she's got problems in her life. She says this down here in verse number 12. She said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake. This is all I got. Watch your problems. She said, I got a handful of meal in a barrel. I got a little oil in a cruse, and I'm getting 2 sticks. All I got's a handful of meal. I got a few drops of oil. Y'all, this morning, forgive my bad South Georgia diction. When I say oil, I mean oil. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? If you're from north of the Mason-Dixon line and you talk funny and you say oil, then just figure this morning, every time I say oil, I mean what you mean when you say oil, all right? Okay, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page here so I can interpret for you my speaking in tongues here for a minute, okay? She's got problems. She's at the bottom of the barrel. You might have come in this morning and you say, preacher, that's where I am. I'm right here in my life. I'm on the bottom emotionally. I'm on the bottom spiritually. I'm on the bottom marriedly. I'm on the bottom just trying to walk with God. And I got some problems. I mean, I'm scraping at the bottom of some issues of my life. Feel like I'm at the end. Got a few drops left. Just ain't got much going for me. A couple of sticks. That just, preacher, I am at the bottom this morning. That may be where you are. We see problems in her life, the place in her life, and watch the plan in her life. Watch what she says. Watch this plan she's got. The end of verse number 12. The end of verse 12, she said, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Watch her plan. That we may eat it and die. We're just going to eat this, Brother Zach, and my plan is I'm going to give up after that. This is the last thing I'm going to do before I just absolutely give up. You might have walked in this morning, you say, preacher, that's my plan. I was planning on coming in here, then I'm giving up on church stuff. I'm giving up on God. I've tried God. I've tried church, and God ain't come through. My problems just seem to keep getting deeper and deeper. I keep scraping lower and lower, and I feel like I've just got to the end, and I'm just going to give up. But can I say this? When hope was all gone, help was on the way. When this woman thought there was absolutely no hope and no help for her situation, God had already dispatched the answer. God had already sent the help. God had already put somebody headed down her way to meet her at the exact time that she needed. Can I just stop and say, I'm glad we serve a God that He's an on-time God. Yes, He is this morning. He is never a day late, and He is never a dollar short. And I don't know what it is you need in your life, but I know I serve a God that He is not late. He is not a day behind. He shows up when He wants to and where He wants to, and He knows where you are, and He knows what you're going through this morning. So you say, preacher, what in the world kind of blessings could possibly be at the bottom of the barrel? I am at the bottom of my barrel. What in the world kind of blessings could be down there? Let me show them to you real quick and we're done. Firstly, we find at the bottom of the barrel is the blessing of a message. That's the blessing of a message. So what do you mean the blessing of a message? Watch verses 8 and 9. Don't miss this. This was a blessing to me when I saw this. Verses 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 9. Now God's speaking to Elijah, but watch what he says while he's talking to Elijah. Verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now watch the message. He ain't just talking to Elijah. Watch the next part. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Brother Butch, God ain't just been talking to Elijah the preacher. Brother Danny, God has obviously been talking to this little Gentile woman over there in Zarephath. Right? Ain't you getting that, what I'm getting? Brother JC, it said, I have commanded a widow woman there. In other words, God's been over there talking too. Now, I thought that was a blessing to me because of the location I told you where she is. Brother David, the location where she is the back doorstep of Jezebel's hometown. Where she lives at is the cesspool of where they make pagan idols and pagan gods. And I thought to myself, how come she's talking to God? How come she is able to receive a message from the Lord? Brother John Collins, she's living in this pagan town. She ought to be praying to these pagan gods. And I wondered, why ain't she? And I figure it like this. This woman has got to the end of her barrel, Brother Beaver, and she's realized this. These gods down here, they ain't listening. They ain't answering. And maybe these gods are good for the people in the palace, but they ain't working too good for the poor folk down here on the wrong side of the track. I don't just need a God that's only good for the rich folk. I don't just need a little God that's only good for the folk in the palace. I need a God that can walk down here into the midst of this little one-room shanty shack that I live in. I need a God that can march up into the poor person's house. I need a God that doesn't just listen to the king. He doesn't just listen to the priest. He doesn't just listen to the rich folk, but he listens to the poor folk. He listens to the down and out. I need a God that can answer and do something for me. Brother Randy, what got her receiving this message? Don't miss this. I'm talking about blessings at the bottom of the barrel. What got her receiving this message, Brother Jacob? Here's what got her receiving it. She got desperate. See, some of y'all sitting here this morning and you are resenting the fact that God has put you at Zarephath, the refinery. You are resenting the fact that God is making you scrape the bottom of your barrel and drain the last few drops of oil. But can I say this is what I find when God does this for us? What God does when he does that is he gets us in a position we can listen. You ain't never gonna convince me otherwise, Brother Hunter, that if this woman had a full meal barrel and a full oil cruise oil and a big bunch of sticks, she'd have never called on God. She'd have never listened to the message of God. Why would she? She don't need him. But Brother Glenn, when she got down to the bottom, she started saying, I need something. And I'm willing and I'm ready to start listening. Now listen to me. I find God starts talking to us a lot of times and giving us a message when he gets us down on the bottom. Seems like a lot of times when everything's hunky-dory in our life and everything's good, we just scoot through life and think, I got this. Man, I'm driving the show. I'm running, everything's great. But when God gets us down to the bottom of the barrel, we start saying, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. I need to get a word from you. And if it takes God putting you at the bottom of the barrel to be able to hear what he's got to say, mark this down, he will put you flat, natural born, at the bottom of the barrel this morning. I find old Jonah wasn't ready to listen to the message until God got him down to the bottom of the ocean floor in the belly of a whale. And then it said, he started saying, Lord, I'm ready to listen. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I find the prodigal son did not want to listen to the tender admonitions of his daddy while he lived at home. But when he hit the skids and life got to the hog pen and he was down at the bottom, Brother Kevin, of the meal barrel, he said, I believe I'm ready to listen, and I'll go back to daddy's house. I find that Saul was not ready to listen to the preaching of the gospel until Jesus came to him and knocked him off his horse on Damascus Road. And when he got down on the bottom, he said, Lord, I'm ready to listen. I find that old Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he thought he was hot stuff, and he thought he didn't need God till God made him run crazy and put him out in the field for all them years like a wild beast. And when God finally gave him his mind back, he said, I'm ready to listen. Speak to me. And this morning, if you're at the bottom of the barrel, you ought to start listening. Maybe God's got something he wants to say. Stop getting to the place where at the bottom you turn God off. Instead, at the bottom, you ought to be turning God on and say, God, I'm listening. Speak to me. You say, but what he says I don't like. Do you think this woman liked what God said? Brother Tony James, this is what God tells this woman to do. He told that woman, Brother Tyler, he said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, right? Ain't that what he said? This is what God told her to do. Hey, I got this woolly booger looking preacher coming through. And when he shows up, I want you to feed him. And she's sitting there, Brother Stockner, saying this. Have you seen my portfolio lately, God? Have you looked in my meal barrel? Have you looked in my... I don't got enough food to feed me and that little boy. Brother Steve, much less feed this full-grown man coming in here. But this is what blesses me. When Brother Garrett, he shows up and he tells her, fix something for me. You never find one time where she says, that's crazy, you're nuts, I ain't fixing you my life. No. She does exactly what... Why does she do that? Because she'd already got the message. See, there's times the Lord will tell you to do some things that you think, God, you're absolutely crazy. In the modern vernacular, God, you are cray-cray. You have lost your mind. God, that just can't be. But I found if I'll do what God says, when God says, how God says it, God will always work it out for his glory and for my good this morning. Say, what kind of blessing could I possibly get being on the bottom of my barrel this morning with all of what I got going on? You're at the right spot because you can listen. You know how many people in this room came to know Jesus Christ, not on mountaintops. They got born again when life had just went whoop. What happened when they hit the bottom? They got to a place where all their buddies had left. Brother Eddie didn't have any more phone calls and no more texts because they couldn't do nothing for them. Maybe they had their phone taken away from them and they was in a pokey somewhere. They got to a place they didn't have no money, they didn't have no fun. I mean, it's just all taken away from them. And you know what I found out in the place? To where you get in that refinement spot and God has stripped you of everything in your barrel. What I found when you get to that place and God has stripped you, like this woman, she ain't even got a husband. She's been stripped of everything and everyone seemingly. I find this, when God gets you all by yourself, that's when he'll step in and get in with you. If you come this morning and you're at the bottom and you feel all alone, I'm glad to report to you, you ain't got to stay there by yourself. There is a God in heaven that if you'll start calling and you'll start listening, he will show up and get in the middle of it with you this morning. Yeah, he don't say, you got to fix it. You got to get all this right and then I'll start getting in. No, he'll get in and help you fix it. We see there is a message at the bottom of the barrel. Not only do we see there's a message, that's a blessing. You can start hearing what God's saying. But we see not only there's a message at the bottom of the barrel, there's a ministry at the bottom of the barrel. There's a ministry. God has got a ministry for Elijah to do. I want all of our church to listen to this. If you're a BNBC crowd, I want you to listen up what I'm fixing to say for the next few minutes about this ministry business. Elijah, at the early part of our text, what I read to you, at the early part of our text, Brother Jimmy, Elijah has been sitting fat,
dumb and happy by the brook Cherith. He is kicked back. I mean, brother, sitting in the shade, sipping some pink lemonade. He's got his feet dangling in the brook. He is having a time. And about breakfast time every morning, them ravens come and drop bread and flesh right in his lap. And he's drinking the cool water, dipping his feet in the water. He's eating the bread and the flesh. Man, ain't this wonderful. And then about supper time, here they come again. He sees them coming. They come drop the bread and the flesh. And he's just having himself a time. I'm letting the world hurt. He is enjoying life right by himself while there are hurting people like this woman that needs some help. And God comes to him and says this, Brother Mikey. God comes and says, hey, I've let the brook dry up because I'm going to send you to a widow woman to sustain thee. I imagine immediately, Brother Carl, Elijah thought this. Elijah thought, woo, rich widow going to take care of me. That's what you're looking for, right, Brother John? Praise God. Rich widow to take care of you. Woo-hoo! God's got, hey, if it was this good by the brook with the bread and the flesh in the morning and the ravens, it's got to be even better over yonder with the rich widow lady. I mean, this is going to be awesome. But then all of a sudden he comes into town, he's looking for the rich widow, and he walks in verse 10, and it says, when he came to the gate of the city, there's this widow woman gathering sticks, and he ends up finding out she ain't no rich widow, she's a poor widow. Let me say this to Bible missionary. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. If you're not willing to help those who are at the bottom of the barrel, you'll never be used by God. Oh, God. If you're not willing to help those who are down at the bottom and see no way out, and they're defeated and they've been crushed and they've been bruised and everything seems like, if you can only help people that you feel like is full and got a lot to offer you, you are not fit for ministry this morning. But if you can look up and see there are people that they're on empty and they ain't got nothing, but they're the people God has sent me to, and they're the people God needs me to minister to, then God will use you in ministry this morning. I'm not talking about, you say, well, I'm called to preach or be a pastor. Who said you have to be a minister to people? Everybody in here ought to desire to be that if you're saved by the grace of God. Everybody wants to be the Elijah that stands on top of Mount Carmel in the next chapter and calls down fire from heaven. Sign me up for that. Sign me up, Brother Cliff, to stand on top of Mount Carmel, pray that little old prayer, and whoo-hoo, fire comes down, and then we kill the prophets of Baal, and I look like a big dog. Yeah, sign me up for that. But listen to me. Before God ever used Elijah to call down fire on top of Mount Carmel, he took him to the refinery to help some little old woman that didn't have nothing. She don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. You say, I want God to use me. Be careful. See, we see Carmel and we think, that's where God's going to use me at. I'm not saying he won't, but before God ever takes you to Carmel, God has to run you through Zarephath. I heard an old preacher say one time, Brother Skip, and I've never forgotten it. He said this. He said, son, if you'll preach to hurting people, you'll never lack an audience to preach to. If you preach to hurting people, you never like an audience. You know why? Because everybody's hurting. In this room this morning, I don't know, there's probably so many people that walked in, and in some area of your life, you feel just like this woman. You are scraping the bottom of the barrel. God's got a ministry for us to do. Too many times, all we can focus on, don't miss this, I'm running to the close here. Too many times, all we can focus on is the fact that God dried up my brook. God dried up my brook. God messed up my bread and flesh in the morning. Mark this down. It weren't your brook. God gave it to you to begin with. And if God decides to dry the brook up and send the blessed ravens back to the place where they come from, that's God's business. You just keep walking wherever it is God sends you to. Too many Christians are so obsessed with what they have lost and what God has taken away to see that there is someone that's worse off than they are that needs just a little bit of help. You say, what do they need? What do people at the bottom of the barrel need? They need someone to come along. Watch your Bible. Look at verse 12. She said, I got a handful of meal. I got a little oil and a cruse. Don't miss this. I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. What does God need me to do in ministry form to people at the bottom of the barrel? He needs someone to come along in verse 13 and say this. Elijah said unto her, fear not. God's got this. You may think it's time to throw the towel in and it's just time to quit, but I'm telling you, it ain't quitting time. There is a God that sent me by with a word of hope and a word of encouragement to tell you this is not the last day. There's another day. There'll be another meal. There'll be another day come. It don't end today. God needs some people that'll help hurting folk and tell them, fear not. There's a big God in heaven that's big enough to handle your problems, that's big enough to fight your enemies, that's big enough to put meal in your barrel, that's big enough to dry your tears, that's big enough to put joy in your heart, that's big enough to put your home back together, that's big enough to put your mind back right. There's a God. Fear not this morning. There's enough depression and discouragement running around to go around. We need some preachers that can give some hope and say, fear not. Fear not. What is the blessing at the bottom of this barrel, Brother Zorn? Well, the blessing is you can get a message. The blessing is you can have a ministry. But then we see the last blessing, and I've been wanting to get here, and I'm done. The blessing at the bottom of the barrel is we see a manifestation or a miracle. We see God's hand. I love verses 14, 15, and 16. We read them, but could we read them again? Because they're just so good. Watch the manifested miracle. Watch what God does. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. This is a miracle. Neither did the... She would have never saw this with a full barrel. You only see this with one that's down to nothing. The barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You say, preacher, all I got is a handful left. Good. You're right where God wants you at. Say, preacher, I'm as low as I can go. Good. You're right where God can do something this morning. Say, preacher, I'm where this woman's at. This blessed me. I said this at the beginning to bring you to this. I told you at the beginning where this woman's at. Brother Udi, this woman is in Zarephath, the place of refinement. But it's in the area of Zidon, 8 miles from Jezebel's hometown. 8 miles from Jezebel's hometown. In the very town where they build their gods to worship. And I imagine she thought, God can't do nothing. The devil has done so much in this town and in this region. Ain't no way God can walk in here and do something in this place. This is the devil's yard. This is the devil's front yard and backyard. And the devil runs the show round these parts. Well, he used to. Well, he did. Until God decided, I believe I want to do something right under the devil's nose. You might have walked up in here this morning and the devil's run all around your family and the devil's run all around your life. And everybody says there ain't no way that God can ever do nothing around that area that is owned and claimed property of the devil. But I'm glad to tell you, when you get down to the bottom of the barrel, there's a God that can step into the devil's territory. There is a God that can walk into what the devil owns, and he can start doing things. He can start pulling off miracles right in the backyard of the devil this morning. God is about to flex his mighty muscle of mercy right under the devil's nose. Rub the devil's nose in it and say, "How'd you like that?" You say, "Preacher, I'm on the bottom." Yeah, and you're a good candidate for God to walk up into your refinement, flex his muscle, rub the devil's nose in it, and say, "How you like them apples? You ain't got all the aces up your sleeve. I always got one more move." Say, "Yeah, preacher, that sounds real good, but I'm like her. See, I'm like her. I ain't got nothing for God to work with. Handful of meal. Little drop of oil. Watch this. Did you notice? Don't miss it. Did you notice verse 12? Did you notice what she was gathering? Somebody tell me what she was gathering. How many? How many? Huh, I'm a dog. God, I'm about to lose my mind. If there was water in the baptistry, I'd jump in it. Brother Paul, God can't do nothing with two sticks. I ain't got nothing but two pieces of wood. And God can't do nothing with two pieces of wood. I'm not sure about that. For one more meal, then the widow and her son would die. But the prophet of God said, "Bake it for me, and your barrel won't ever run dry. And God will never run out of blessings. There is an abundant supply. Oh, whatever I need, whenever I need it, my God will provide. Yes, my God will provide." Esther, come help me. I'm through. I want to say this, and I'm done. The Bible said in verse 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, Brother David, this is the way I got it figured, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is the way I got it figured. I don't read nowhere in the text where God filled the barrel to the brim or filled the horn of oil till it overflowed. I don't read that. The way it reads to me, Brother Zander, is this. What it reads to me is this. That she walked in there and she got that last scoop out for Elijah. And she got them last few drops out. She said, well, that's it. And she fed them. And then the next day when it was time for meal time again, she walked back in there thinking, that was the bottom of the barrel, Brother Greg. And when she opened that meal barrel back up, that same handful. That same handful that she had pulled out the day before is right back in there. Brother Randy, she went to pour out them last few drops of oil. And when she poured them, them same drops that was in there the day before is in there again. And Brother Peanut, she went back the next day and she thought, maybe I didn't scrape the very bottom of the barrel that second day. Maybe I was just confused after that first one, but it's gone now. She went back that third time, opened it up, and that same handful. I'm talking about every time she grabbed a handful out, God throwed a handful back in. And every time she poured the last drop out, God poured a few more drops in. And there ain't no way to see nothing like that. Listen, you get to the bottom of your barrel. Say, preacher, I don't want to get to the bottom of my barrel. Okay, just skip the message, skip the ministry, and skip the miracle then. Because the message, the miracle, and the ministry, Brother Kent's only found at the bottom of the barrel. It ain't at the top. It's at the bottom. This morning, maybe you walked in and you say, preacher, I done scooped up that last bit. I'm plumb beyond the bottom of the barrel. Good. Good. You know what'll be there tomorrow? God will throw a handful back in. Oh, yes, neighbor. I ain't preaching out of stories and fairy tales, Brother Skip. I'm preaching about where I've lived at before. Just the time when I think I have reached the end of God's grace and the end of God's goodness and the end of God's mercy, I find God always throws a little bit back in, Brother Doug. Every time I think I have expended His forgiveness, every time I think I have expended the last drop of grace God's got, I find I reach down and there's another handful. And every time I think God is not going to meet my need and God is not going to come through, and God, every time there is another handful. Maybe this morning you need some help. Won't you come call on a God that don't just listen in the White House or at the church house, but He listens at your house. Say, God, I'm at the bottom and I need some help. I believe He'll give it to you this morning. Let's all stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you'd like to come say, Lord, help me to stop focusing on what I've lost and start looking towards people that need some help. Hurting people everywhere. People need help everywhere. This morning. Father, I pray that You'd minister to people. God, I pray that You'd touch lives and hearts. And Lord, You laid this on my heart for who I don't know. But I'm sure there's a pile of people in here that either have been or are at the bottom of the barrel. Would You help them this morning? Help them see beyond it into what God's trying to do with their life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, you come.